This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's roll back in, man. It's 47 degrees. It's 8:30. Friend of the show, Chris Kattan. What a monstrous talent, man. From SNL to Night at the Roxbury to Undercover Brother, it goes on and on. But Baby Don't Hurt Me, the book, I finally opened it up and started reading it yesterday. It's stories and scars from Saturday Night Live. Man, I'm going to tell you, like, if you survive the Saturday Night Live ringer,
the pressure cooker that is that.
Oh, my God. Getting your ideas pushed through, surviving writers, surviving other people, Lorne Michaels, everything that it takes. And then, remember, make the funny come Saturday night. You are a goddamn warrior. I promise you that.
Born October 19th in Sherman Oaks, California. He got his start in comedy as a member of the famed Groundlings improv troupe, working a few small roles on television before moving to New York to become a cast member on Saturday Night Live, where he stayed for almost a decade. He's gone on to such films as A Night at the Roxbury, Porky Romano, and Undercover Brother, and such series as The Middle. And now he tells his story in his new book, Baby Don't Hurt Me, Stories and Scars from Saturday Night Live. Please welcome Chris Kattan.
Hey, Chris, how have you been?
I've been good. Thanks for a little Led Zeppelin intro.
Right? Nice. Well,
You got Jimmy Page to wake up.
You've got this book done now, and well done, man. Out of the gate, I was like, holy hell, this is going to be a great, honest book.
Oh, great. I heard you read it, or most of it.
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot of stuff I didn't know about you. A lot about your mom and dad. It's funny how all the stuff as a kid so much turns into what we use as comedy later on in our lives.
Yes, that is true. Or you do the opposite and not want to have anything to do with your parents.
Yeah, well, that's it.
But in my case, my dad was a huge influence on me. He was one of the original members of the Groundlings Theater, which is this L.A. improv-based group in Los Angeles that a lot of people came from, Will Ferrell or Melissa McCarthy or Kristen Wiig, a lot of people did. Paul Rubens created Pee Wee Herman. So I had the fortunate upbringing to see my dad perform on that stage, when I was like 7 years old, and that's what was one of the main reasons why I wanted to go on Saturday Night Live eventually. I wanted to be a groundling, obviously, but I wanted to be, after that, if I could become a groundling, I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. So I had an early way of finding out what I wanted.
Well, and you learned early that, a funny guy can get a great girl, like the way your dad and your mom. Your mom was this beautiful, beautiful lady, and your dad was a genuinely funny guy. And that absolutely has to influence you.
Yeah, that took me a while to find out. But yes, girls do like funny guys, which is a good thing for me, because I guess there's not a lot of funny people. So that's one of my things. I was never really great at sports, and you find your gift, your niche, your something, or whatever you got, hopefully early on. And I was lucky to find out early on that humor is what was the thing that made the girls smile.
Well, and let me explain to people, the groundlings are so hard to get into, and so hard to become a part of, and so hard to stay a part of, because it is it's the farm team for SNL and always has been. And on to other things as well. And so the idea, that you started with all these incredible players and you took it so very seriously, it was your entire life. Like, it's every minute of every day was consumed by the groundlings. And so when you saw, like, Will Ferrell, when he got the call and he got the job, as happy as you want to be for him, it's so angry inside you. And you're so hurt because you're like, oh, it's tough to be left behind, right?
Yeah, I wasn't angry. I was frustrated because I worked really hard trying to get someone from Saturday Night Live to come to the show. And when they came to see us perform at the Groundlings, I happened to be out of town that week.
The only time.
And nobody told me that he wasn't going to be, that Lorne Michaels would be there. So it was frustrating and hurt. But I was very happy for Will and Sherry O'Terry, who got it at the time.
But so but Sherry.
It was just a few months later until Will called me and said, "Hey, do you want to come on the show?" You know, so I did end up getting the job just like later in the season.
But that's the crazy part.
Didn't get it. It was devastating.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to say was, but it turned out to be the best thing that I think ever happened. You talk about that in the book because it gave you just a little bit. It broke your given F just a little, just enough to let you be you, to really stretch it out and go, you know what? I'm not going to worry about what the funniest thing is or the most thing. It didn't mean you didn't work hard. It meant you were willing to take more chances. And then, which is completely insane, you're talking about a time frame that's so short during the season you get asked to be in. So you're not a part of it. These guys get called up. And all of a sudden, you get a call from Will Ferrell. Lorne would like you to come up and join. Not audition, not be, but like, get your ass up here. You're going to be a part of the rest of the season. That's got to be terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. But, you know, I think what worked in my favor as a performer on the show was that I didn't have time to think about it or time to celebrate or time to get concerned or worry about anything. You know, I went to New York, and just a few days after that call, and started the next week on Saturday Night Live. So it was, there's something about, you know, when you have time to think that could really kill you, actually.
Yeah, right.
Can really get in the way of stuff.
Mr. Peepers made his debut, and of course, Charlize Theron, fantastic. Katie Holmes, fantastic as well, but maybe not as accepting originally of how far you were going to go with that live Mr. Peepers.
No, I had no idea that character would become as popular as it did. You know, Tom Hanks is the reason why the character even became got the light of day to be seen at all. You know, nobody, I think people were a little afraid of doing that character since there's a lot of dry humping involved. you know, it's funny, it was the females that, like, were drawn to that character. I think there was something about unleashing the beast, you know, within themselves that got to play with them. Mr. Peepers, you know, like Charlize Theron was so into the sketch, you know, because she's such a fantastic actress, you know, that she wasn't going to give it anything less than 120%. She really unleashed the beast. I mean, she, like, in the sketch, she ran around and chased after me and then dry humped me from behind and pulled my wig off. And it was fantastic.
Apparently, she had some mad humping skills, too.
Yes, it was a wonderful sight.
Right, I know she is by far my favorite. And then Katie Holmes has that girl next door talent, but sparkle in the eye thing. I get it. Like you kind of fell for her while you were watching her in rehearsals. Oh, yeah. Everything she did, you thought was brilliant. I mean, and I get it because she has that thing and that good girl, sexy girl thing that you just go, oh my God, you're so fantastic.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she was on Dawson's Creek at the time, and I think a lot of people had a big crush on her. She was just so, I guess, dreamy is the word. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very much like that high school. It was like that high school love thing, you know, when you have her.
Yeah.
In high school. And it's just so overpowering. Yeah, I had a big crush on Katie Holmes. She was so gorgeous.
So, but how horrible, though. You're getting after it. You're doing, there's monologue. You're doing your best Mr. Peepers. And all of a sudden, she you can see on her face, she's not kidding. She's like, this is not going to go well if you go any further. What was it she told you?
She didn't want me to she didn't want me to kiss her.
Oh, that sucks so much.
Well, that's fine. It was live television. Who knew? But she said it during the sketch. She was like, don't kiss me.
Oh.
He totally put it together.
But you did ask her out.
I did, yes. And she gave me her phone number, and I called her. And she did call back, and she did, basically her message was, bah, bah. This is the sound of my
Peepers.
Character. That was it. That was my whole Katie Holmes experience.
Oh, dude, listen, they're already going to give me the rap, Chris. Listen, are you going to do more press? Because, I mean, we've just barely covered a few chapters in this, and the book is really fantastic. If you're just joining the show, the great, the legend, Chris Kattan, Saturday Night Live, the new book, Baby Don't Hurt Me, is out. And, man, I want you to come back because there's a lot more stories in this.
Yeah, there are. There's a great deal of stories. And it seems like every interview I do, everybody's bringing up a different story, you know, from cowbell to, you know, from there's tons of stuff. There's a lot, great deal, and I'm really happy with how the book came out. But you never know until people read it and what they think. And it seems like everybody's loving it, so I'm very excited about it.
Well, dude, I hope you're very proud of it because it does show. It's easy to forget all the things that you've done in your life and because it's a long life. And, you know, man, you've had so many great moments, man. It's good to read about them in a book, and I hope you stop back by so we can talk about it.
Oh, I'd love to. You can also get it on Audible, by the way. People wonder about that. So
excellent.
You can get it on Audible.
Man, I hope to see you soon, Chris.
Thanks, you guys.
Take care, man.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.